Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning, everyone. I want to begin this morning by acknowledging the shooting of at least one member of Congress, plus a congressional aide and two Capitol Police officers. House Majority Whip Steve Scalise and the others were shot early this morning, in case you haven't heard this yet, when a gunman opened fire in a park in Alexandria, Virginia, where Republicans were practicing for a charity baseball game scheduled for tomorrow against congressional Democrats. It's apparently a game that happens every year. We'll bring you more details as we know them. The very latest coming across the AP wire right now is that House Republican Whip, or the office of House Republican Whip Steve Scalise, who was shot, says he was shot in the hip. He's undergoing surgery and he is in stable condition. There is a news conference scheduled for later this hour. We will bring you that news conference, assuming it happens during our show, and other details as we know them. Otherwise, we're going to do our scheduled segment on the Jeff Sessions hearing in just a second. But I just want to say out loud that if the Russia investigation is serious because it's about an attack on our democracy, certainly an assassination attempt on a member of Congress or members of Congress, if that's what this was, is an attack on our democracy in the most physical, violent way. Whether the suspect turns out to be simply a mentally ill person who gets set off by members of Congress or something more explicitly political, things like the Gabby Gifford shooting and this should make us stop to appreciate our open society and our electoral democracy, no matter how flawed. We are still not Russia. And as I said, we'll bring you updates on the Virginia shooting as we get them through the morning. But on this day after Jeff Sessions' Senate testimony, we will turn now to our Trusha Daily segment. We're following developments on the Trump and Russia investigation every day in June on the show. Then we'll see where we are at the end of the month. Credit to Ed O'Keefe from The Washington Post for coining the hashtag Trusha. And the headlines from 2 hours with Jeff Sessions are actually very simple. He doesn't recall much about what he and the Russian ambassador discussed during their multiple meetings during the campaign, because who could remember such insignificant encounters? And he refused to disclose anything the president told him about firing James Comey because confidentiality for the attorney general's conversations with the president is a longstanding Justice Department policy. Wait, what? What policy is that? One of the most memorable exchanges of the hearing came when Democratic Senator Kamala Harris of California pushed Sessions on whether there is really any such policy until John McCain interrupted her.
And you referred to a longstanding DOJ policy. Can you tell us what policy it is you're talking about?
Well, I think most cabinet people, as the witnesses you had before you earlier, those individuals declined to comment because we're all about conversations with the president.
Sir, I'm just asking you about the DOJ policy you referred to.
A policy that goes beyond just the attorney general.
Is that policy in writing somewhere?
I think so.
So did you not consult it before you came before this committee, knowing we would ask you questions about
it? Well, we talked about it. The policy is
based. Did you ask that it would be shown to you?
The policy is based on the principle that the president...
Sir, I'm not asking about the principle. I'm asking when you would be asked these questions and you would rely on that policy.
Chairman,
did you not ask your staff to show you the policy that would be the basis for your refusing to answer the majority of questions that have been asked of you?
Should be allowed to answer the question.
Weirdly, it was the second time in a week that Senator Harris was pushing a witness about Trusha, and McCain couldn't handle it. Afterwards, Elizabeth Warren started using the hashtag Nevertheless, she persisted, and that's been spreading. And nevertheless, McCain also had one of the most telling exchanges with Sessions. Sessions' stated reason for meeting with the Russian ambassador two times was that Sessions is on the Armed Services Committee and the meetings were relevant. Well, McCain is chairman of the Armed Services Committee, and he made Sessions squirm, pushing him to explain what exactly the meetings were relevant to.
Did you raise concerns about Russia's support for President Bashar Assad and his campaign of indiscriminate violence against his own citizens, including his use of chemical weapons?
I don't recall whether that was discussed or not.
You raised concerns about Russia's interference in our electoral process or its interference in the electoral processes of our allies?
I don't recall that being discussed.
At those meetings, if you spoke with Ambassador Kisiak in your capacity as a member of the Armed Services Committee, you presumably talked with him about Russia-related security issues that you have demonstrated as important to you as a member of the committee?
Did I discuss security issues?
I don't recall you as being particularly vocal on such issues.
Repeat that, Senator McCain. I'm sorry.
The whole Russia-related security issues that you demonstrate is important to you as a member of the committee. Did you raise those with him?
You mean such issues as nuclear issues?
Yeah, in other words, Russia-related security issues. In your capacity as the chairman of the Strategic Forces Subcommittee, what Russia-related security issues did you hold hearings on or otherwise demonstrate a keen interest in?
We may have discussed that. I just don't have a real recall of the meeting. I was not making a report about it to anyone. I just was basically willing to meet and see what he discussed.
And his response was?
I don't recall.
Such memory problems. Poor Mr. Sessions. McCain's bottom line, Sessions did not show much interest in Russian ambassadors in his many years in the Senate before he joined the Trump campaign, and didn't show much interest in our actual issues with Russia in those meetings now that he's holding them. More to that point, David Korn from Mother Jones will be on in a minute. He wrote an article on what he considers the most shocking revelation from the hearing, and here it is. Independent Senator Angus King of Maine was questioning Sessions about the underlying issue, Russian interference with our elections, whether or not the Trump campaign colluded. King asked Sessions if he has ever sought information about the Russian attacks on our democracy.
I know nothing but what I've read in the paper. I've never received any detailed briefing on how hacking occurred or how information was alleged to have influenced the campaign.
Between the election, there was a memorandum from the Intelligence Committee on October 9th that detailed what the Russians were doing after the election, before the inauguration. You never sought any information about this rather dramatic attack on our country?
No,
you never asked for a briefing or attended a briefing or read the intelligence reports?
You might have been very critical of me if I, as an active part of the campaign, was seeking intelligence relating to something that might be relevant to the campaign. I'm not sure that
I'm not talking about the campaign. I'm talking about what the Russians did. You received no briefing on the Russian active measures in connection with the 2016 election?
No, I don't believe I ever did.
The uncurious Jeff Sessions yesterday with Senator Angus King. We'll play more highlights and lowlights as we go. And with me now is David Korn, Washington Bureau Chief for Mother Jones Magazine. David, thanks a lot for doing this. Welcome back to WNYC.
Always a pleasure to be with you. And, of course, I want to express my concern about the shooting this morning and hope everybody's fine and that things aren't, you know, there's no bad news to come.
Sounds really really horrible. One thing that just crossed the wire, Texas Congressman Joe Barton said the shooting lasted 5 to 10 minutes, and there were dozens, if not hundreds, of shots fired. So just continuing to lay that out, and I'm glad you expressed your concern as well. And again, we'll continue to update that story. We are expecting a news conference by authorities later this hour, which we plan to take. But for now, David, why did you key on that exchange between Sessions and Angus King for your most shocking revelation from the Sessions hearing?
Well, I think we have to continually get to the big picture. And these hearings and these stories, the details matter. I'm an investigative reporter. I love details. But the big picture is that the Russians, under the leadership of Vladimir Putin, attacked U.S. democracy last fall and summer in the campaign. And this was a covert operation that was multifaceted. It wasn't just hacking and leaking. It was the use of fake news, maybe even troll bots and other things. But it was an extensive campaign that was meant to help Donald Trump become president. This is unprecedented, and it's something that we should never lose sight of. And, of course, something that we need to prevent from happening again, whether it helps a Democrat or a Republican. And we've seen throughout the campaign, and even after the campaign, Donald Trump himself downplaying this, and so far really doing nothing in terms of a response to this covert operation. And then yesterday we had Jeff Sessions, who is, as Attorney General, one of the top national security officials in the United States government, say that he never asked for information about this attack. He admitted he didn't even bother to read the public assessment put out by the intelligence community in early January that said that it was the Russians and it had been done to help Trump. He didn't ask for any additional information. And he also said, under questioning from Senator Joe Manchin, a Democrat from West Virginia, that during the Trump transition and before the inauguration, no one in the transition team, no one on the national security team talked about what to do about this, talked about how to respond, talked about what sanctions to put on or what to do about the sanctions that had been imposed. And I find this absolutely stunning. I understand why Trump doesn't want to talk about this publicly, but to have one of his key members of his national security team say that he had no interest in this, took no steps to find out what had happened, and had no conversations with anyone on the Trump team about what to do about this, that's dereliction of duty, if you ask me.
And listeners, we can take your reactions to anything from the Sessions hearing, 212-433-WNYC, with David Korn from Mother Jones, 212-433-9692. What'd you think about the exchange with John McCain that we played along those lines? McCain's line of questioning seemed to be designed to raise suspicions about Sessions because he was never interested in Russia before as a member of the Armed Services Committee. And now that he's meeting with Russians, he didn't seem concerned with the real issues between the two nations.
There is nothing wrong with members of Congress, senators and congressmen and women, meeting with ambassadors from foreign countries. That it happens. It doesn't happen a lot, but it does happen, usually when there is a matter at hand to discuss, a legislation, a crisis, whatever that might be. Meeting with the Russian ambassador or meeting with, say, the Chinese ambassador, is pretty high up on the scale of things that doesn't happen that often and that you might remember. Now, meeting with a Russian ambassador in September, last September, after it's been a public issue that Russia has attacked the election and is behind the hacking of the Democrats and the leaking through WikiLeaks, after that's become an issue, for anybody to sit down with a Russian ambassador and A, not talk about it, and B, not remember the meeting at all, now, that is highly suspicious. If you were going to meet with a Russian ambassador while his government was trying to undermine a presidential election here, I would hope that it would be a topic of conversation and that one should remember that. So that's what I think was one of the most surprising elements of McCain's questioning, which was pretty tough after his questioning the other week of Comey, where he seemed to be kind of a little befuddled.
Yeah.
And it was designed to put Sessions on the defensive as somebody who's never shown any real interest in U.S.-Russia matters. And now meeting with Kislyak at this point in time and not being engaged on what was the key matter, the Russian attack on the United States, the cyber attack, It's really hard to, come up with an explanation. And I think because it happened, late in the hearing, he was one of the last questioners, it was a matter that probably didn't get as much attention as it should have.
I think that's right. And I think actually some of the lines of questioning late in the hearing were the most important and most effective. McCain was last. Kamala Harris was nearly last. Jack Reed, who we're going to get to, was close to last. And those two main headlines from the attack, as far as I'm concerned, the one that we've just been discussing, he doesn't seem to recall anything that happened in his meetings with the Russian ambassador, and the other one, that he wouldn't disclose anything that happened in his meetings with Trump regarding the firing of Comey and therefore potential obstruction of justice. And so the Kamala Harris exchange with Sessions that we played about what Justice Department policy prevents him from discussing his conversations with the president, besides McCain cutting her off as a nasty woman, quote unquote, she basically got Sessions to say there was no such policy that he could cite.
Yes, and the same thing happened at the hearing last week with the Director of National Intelligence, Dan Coats, and the head of the NSA, Admiral Rogers, when they took the same line and said, we just don't feel it's appropriate to talk about these conversations. And Coats at one point was even said, this is close to a direct quote, I don't know what the legal basis is for that. So you have what appears to be stonewalling without the invoking of executive privilege. And what Sessions was doing was particularly absurd, in which he was saying, I'm not going to answer these questions because it might interfere with Donald Trump's later use of executive privilege. So he may want to invoke executive privilege later. Excuse me, the way this is typically worked is that if a president knows a member of his staff or cabinet is appearing before Congress about and talking about a certain set of issues, that's when the president would raise executive privilege and say, so-and-so can come, but I don't want him or her to talk about this or that. I'm invoking executive privilege. It's up to the president to invoke it, not for a member of the federal agency, ahead of a federal agency, to make that decision for himself or herself. And so, what's a bit sad is that because of the highly partisan nature in Washington right now, that senators, I mean, it used to be, you remember this, you and I are old enough to remember, Brian, where the thing that senators cared about the most were their own prerogatives.
That's right.
Even more than partisan advantage.
Vis-a-vis the executive branch.
Yes, and if a member of the executive branch came before them and didn't answer their questions, they'd get on their high horse, and it didn't matter what party they were from. It was not a partisan thing. We're a senator. I'm a chairman of a committee. You must answer these questions, right, unless you're invoking executive privilege.
And I will say, to his credit, that the chairman of the committee, Senator Burr, Republican, did do that. He did it in his quiet way, but he kind of admonished Sessions at the end of the hearing to please go back and find that policy, if there really is such a policy, and produce it for them. So I think some credit to Senator Burr.
I think you're being charitable, because compared to days past, there would have been thunderous roars from the chairman,
yes,
or chairwoman about such matters. But since it's the Democrats who are pushing on this, most of the Republicans are being mute about this non-policy that one can look at as somewhat of a justification or a quasi-justification for a cover-up.
David Korn, Washington Bureau Chief for Mother Jones, with us as we break down the big picture and some of the particulars from the Jeff Sessions testimony yesterday. 212-433-WNYC. So here's another moment related to what we were just discussing. Democratic Senator Jack Reed of Rhode Island asked Sessions if he felt misled by Trump, saying on television, as Trump did, that he fired Comey because of the Russia thing, after Sessions insisted that it wasn't.
Did you feel misled when the president announced that his real reason for dismissing Mr. Comey was the Russian investigation?
I'm not able to characterize that fact.
So,
I wouldn't try to comment on that.
So I guess privileged communications between the president and attorney general extend to the attorney general's feelings inside himself. I guess he got away without saying anything about Trump and obstruction of justice.
Well, he did, and I do think it's a mistake for a member of Congress to ask a witness how they felt about something, because that's certainly something they can either hide or not answer. But the interesting, Jack Reed was getting to something quite interesting. Sessions and Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein had said that the reason that Comey was fired was because of how he mishandled the Clinton email server investigation, even though Trump and Sessions back in the fall were praising Comey for what he did. And so there was a total flip-flop there. But putting that aside, then Trump comes out and says, oh, it was because of the Russia thing, and tells Kislyak and Russian Foreign Minister Sergey Lavrov in the Oval Office that he got rid of the nutball Comey to ease pressure from the Russian investigation.
Comey. Don't say Comey when you're talking about the Russians.
Comey. And so... So it does seem that Sessions and Rosenstein put out what you might call a false flag, a false cover story. And how that came about, and to understand that more completely, is why you need to get to the conversations Sessions had with Trump. Did Trump tell Sessions that he was doing this because of the Russian investigation? Now, presumably, Mueller, the special counsel, Robert Mueller, is looking at the possible obstruction of justice, or looking at this to see if there was anything improper, in which case he could well call Sessions as a witness and ask him, what did Trump tell you? And so it doesn't matter whether Sessions felt misled or not. The important issue is what the facts are, and whether Trump said, write up something and make it about the server while Trump was aiming to fire Comey for another reason.
Let me give Jack Reed another 40 seconds, because he also blew the whistle on Sessions for his own obvious change of stance about Comey's job performance. Sessions said yesterday that he recommended Comey be fired for usurping the attorney general's authority to decide if Hillary Clinton would be charged with a crime, and then going public with his criticism of Clinton despite not charging her. Sessions said Comey was wrong on both counts, but Senator Reid read aloud from Sessions' quotes at the time.
On July 7th, when Mr. Comey made his first announcement about the case, you were on Fox News and you said, first of all, Director Comey is a skilled former prosecutor. And then you concluded by saying essentially that it's not his problem, it's Hillary Clinton's problem. Then in November, on November 6th, after Mr. Comey again made news in late October by reopening, if you will, the investigation, you said again on Fox News, FBI Director Comey did the right thing when he found new evidence.
So nice piece of convenient hypocrisy Jack Reed dug up there, huh, David?
Oh, yeah. I mean, and we had, of course, Donald Trump praising Comey as well, and there was that famous video during the transition when he meets with Comey in the Blue Room in the White House and gives him a big smile and a hug, blows him kisses. And of course, there is what Comey called an outright lie when the White House said that one reason he was fired was because the FBI was in disarray and there was chaos and the rank and file had lost confidence in him. Andrew McCabe, the deputy director, who's now the acting director of the FBI, has said under oath, no, there was no truth to that. I've spoken to people who work at the FBI now who say there's no truth to that at all either. So again and again and again, Comey and Trump Sessions and Trump praised Comey, and then all of a sudden he was, the worst guy ever, and the FBI was in disarray, and that really wasn't true. So it does seem there is a lot of obfuscation about the real reason this happened, and this is why it's important for the special counsel and for the investigating committees in Congress and the House and Senate side to figure out who said what to whom about firing Comey, and whether the president try to set up a cover story in the White House in a plan that he himself could not stick to because he blurted something out and things leaked. But if he I mean, it does seem clear, and this is what Comey said again and again in his own testimony, I take the president at his word. He fired me because of the Russia investigation. That needs to be looked at, and there are different legal opinions out there whether that would count as obstruction of justice. But as long as there are some credible voices saying it might, it's very troubling.
Bonnie in Suffolk County, you're on WNYC with David Korn from Mother Jones. Hi, Bonnie.
How are you, Brian?
Good, thank you.
Hi, David. How are you? So,
hi.
David, I was listening to you before saying, well, it's crazy or it's, like, totally ludicrous that Sessions didn't investigate this, the transition team didn't investigate this when they came on after the election. Of course they didn't. All of the evidence points to the fact that at least some people in the Trump campaign were involved in this collusion. So why would they investigate it? They're going to hang themselves. And I also wish that somebody yesterday had said, goodness, Senator Sessions, if you can't remember these huge meetings you had with ambassadors from foreign countries less than a year ago, then I think, like, maybe you should see a doctor or something or question his memory or his brain function, because it's just completely ludicrous, this whole thing.
People said McCain was getting old after his questioning of Comey last week. What about Sessions not being able to remember things like that? It's an interesting point. But is it fair kind of, you know, in Sessions, did Sessions have a fair point saying people might have been very critical of him if he was seeking intelligence information about Russian hacking during the campaign when Russia was hacking to help his campaign?
Well, the issue is if he did it during the campaign, that might have seemed suspicious if he was looking for information regarding anything related to the Trump campaign. But the question is, what happened really, and this is what he was asked about, after the election, he was named Attorney General designee within days of Trump winning the election. And then, you know, he was part of the transition team for Trump. So as a member of the transition team and as the person coming in as Attorney General, that's when you would expect him to at least read the report put out by the intelligence community, let alone ask for any additional material. I think it would have been proper for him to ask for a briefing with classified information. I mean, he is a sitting senator.
Yeah.
He does have access to classified information.
Yeah.
So the fact that he did none of that after the election while he was heading towards the Attorney General's office is what is so suspicious. And the fact also that, you know, listen, my memory isn't always wonderful, but not remembering a meeting with the Russian ambassador from like 5-6 months ago in the middle of this crisis about the Russian hack attack on America, that is hard to believe.
We're going to run out of time in a minute. Here's the most full-throated Republican defense at the hearing against the idea that Trump or his associates colluded with Russia to hack the Democrats' emails. It's Arkansas Senator Tom Cotton with Sessions, and he refers to that encounter at the Mayflower Hotel in passing with the Russian ambassador, as Sessions described it, as just, yeah, he was there, I was there, it was this big campaign event, I don't even remember if we talked to each other. And so Tom Cotton framed it this way.
Have you ever, in any of these fantastical situations, heard of a plot line so ridiculous that a sitting United States senator and an ambassador of a foreign government colluded at an open setting with hundreds of other people to pull off the greatest caper in the history of espionage?
Thank you for saying that, Senator Cotton. It's just like through the looking glass.
So does he have a point, David, if that was the big mysterious extra reason for Sessions to recuse himself that Comey referred to in closed session last week, the idea that in that public setting, Sessions could have been plotting with the Russians to hack the election is a through-the-looking-glass scenario?
You know, we have to, this is something that the White House has been trying to do. They've raised the bar to active collusion, active participation. There's a lot that went on or could have gone on that's incredibly wrong. I'm not saying it's illegal, that may not be direct involvement. For instance, think of it this way. I'm just speculating here. But if in that meeting with Kislyak in September, which was a private meeting in Sessions' office, not a public meeting where they may have bumped into each other. If Sessions said to Kislyak, you know what, you'll get a much better deal with Donald Trump as president, and we might revisit the sanctions issue than you would if Hillary Clinton becomes president. If he said anything like that to Kislyak, while he had reason to believe, because it was already public, that the Russians were interfering in trying to help Trump and hurt Hillary Clinton. Now, you know, I'm not saying that there may be nothing illegal about that, but it's highly wrong. It's aiding and abetting the enemy, as Donald Trump did throughout the campaign by basically casting doubt on the fact that the Russians were the ones who did this. So there's a lot of interactions, and we know that Michael Flynn was talking to Kislyak too before the election, before Election Day, and we don't know what the nature of those conversations were. So if they were sending signals to the Russians that, you know, help us, or it would be a good idea for you to help us, or whatever you can do, guys, we'll remember this. I mean, again, I'm speculating wildly only to make a point that it doesn't have to be that they were plotting together on the specifics of this conspiracy that the Russians were mounting. So that's where Tom Cotton is totally off base, and where the congressional investigators and Special Counsel Mueller have to really dig in to see what were the nature of these interactions and what Trump did or didn't know about them. And that's why, again, we go back to this point, it's very suspicious that Sessions can't remember a single item about what he talked about during a private meeting in his own office with Kislyak only back in September, when Russia and the Russian cyber attack was a hot issue in the campaign.
We'll leave it there, except for this little addendum. David, this just crossed the AP wire as a news alert. China grants preliminary approval for 9 Donald Trump trademarks it had previously rejected.
Well, I wonder why. Noted, why would they do that?
Noted without comment. David Coyne, Washington Bureau Chief for Mother Jones. Thank you so much.
Always a pleasure to be with you, Brian. Take care.